If there's any other questions, put those in the chat box. Otherwise, we're going to go ahead and forward on to Celeste's presentation on insect management. She covered the big three: cucumber beetles, squash vine borer, and squash bugs. So hopefully everything you need to know was in that 11-minute clip. Does anybody have any thoughts about things they've seen, questions about the different types of traps Celeste talked about, how to look for squash vine borer, or any of the squash bug nymphs, or any questions about cucumber beetles?
I have a general question, or I guess a comment, and then a couple of questions. I appreciate all of your effort that you put into the program tonight. I thought it was very helpful and educational, and I'm sure it was a challenge to put together, but you did a great job, and I appreciate that. For the questions, is your presentation going to continue to be available on your website so that we can go back and review it, like for the specific herbicide information? And there was a lot of details that went through very quickly.
Yes. Yeah.
Will that continue to be available?
Yeah, that's going to stay up on the website. All that information is going to be there. The only thing that I will tell you is if you like that, if you use that 3D walk around, those two modules or models, if you will, those are only going to be available for 1 year, and then they're going to go away. So I would do whatever you want to do with those now, between now and a year from now. But as far as the video, it's either going to live on that particular page or it lives on the OSU IPM YouTube page. The link that's up there, that go.osu.edu link, that link will work no matter where it's at, but it'll take you right to the OSU IPM YouTube page. So that'll be there forever. And you had another question?
Okay, perfect. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. To begin the program, you talked about several publications. You gave the names of them. Could you possibly send us out a list of those? And if they're available through OSU, how much they cost and how we order them?
Oh, I can do better than that. So I don't know if you can, it's tough because my virtual background is on, so it doesn't, here we go, okay. So here's one of them, the Midwest Vegetable Production Guide. You can do this online, you can buy it at an extension office. It's, I think, $15 a copy.
It was the 2020 Vegetable Production Guide?
Yes, yeah.
But Jim, could you maybe add?
I'm on my phone, so I cannot see anything.
Okay, well, I'll save going through them one by one then. But yeah, I can put copies of those reference materials on there. That shouldn't be a problem at all. But yeah, there's.
Okay, that was helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's the veg guide, pumpkin production guide, two disease compendiums, and University of Illinois has their pumpkin pest book, but I'll make a note of that to put the resources online. I'll just put pictures to them. I think the pumpkin production guide may no longer be printed, so we'll have to try to find something else for that.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions for Celeste about the insect management section?
There's a question, what insecticide do you use for the pest covered? So I guess just a few comments there. The issue is that cucumber beetles aren't terribly hard to control. The big issue is anything, well, so it's basically either 7 or the pyrethroids. But both 7 and any, the pyrethroids being anything like Mustang Max or Bathroid or Asana or Permethrin, all of those are hard on bees. So we don't really have anything that does a good job of killing beetles and doesn't touch the bees. So you have to be really, really careful about the time of day you apply it. The spotted cucumber beetles are a little harder to control than the striped cucumber beetles. Now for squash bug, that's a little different. Squash bug is much harder to control, especially as an adult. Again, the pyrethroids are about the best material we have. But if you can go for the immature squash bugs, the other alternative we have is the spinosad products. And even if organic growers can use spinosad. For squash vine borer, again, it's the pyrethroids do a pretty good job, or pyrethrins, but a lot of it is not so much of what you use, but when you use it and how you use it, that you need to direct it to the base of the vine. Right in around early July is the best time, either late June, early July, several applications to get the squash vine borer. Often by the time you notice the plant is wilting, it's too late. So I think, Jim, did I miss any other? I mean, really, it comes down for most of those pests, the pyrethroids and seven. Seven is not particularly good for the squash bug or squash vine borer, but seven is pretty good for the beetles.
Right, so if I was going to apply an insecticide, I should do it like 9 o'clock in the morning. That's a good time to do it, Celeste?
No, because that's when the flowers are open.
Oh. So
anytime, except like, and the bees get out really early. They can be out at the crack of dawn. Mm-hmm. So usually, and the really unfortunate thing is, you know, wind is such an important factor when you're trying to spray. And often the best time for the wind is early in the morning, but that's when the flowers are open and the bees are out. So you want to wait until the flowers close. So typically, you know, by noon, sometimes on a hot summer day, even late morning, the flowers are already closed. But mm-hmm. you really do not want to be spraying any of these products when the flowers are open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was being a little facetious there when I said 9 o'clock. I just wanted to see you get all excited, you know.
Well, actually, one of our farm managers just last week sprayed it. He said it was early, but it was 8 o'clock. He was still out there spraying.
Just remember, we're being recorded now, so I don't want you to say anything that's going to come back to haunt you. But yes, we definitely want to focus on spraying. Celeste says noon. I would even go early afternoon, late afternoon, evening. Those would be better times to spray. So the later you can spray, the better off everyone is and happier everyone is.
Yeah, so whoever asked that question, is that enough?
That was on the phone, I think.
Or is that the phone?
Okay. Yeah. And Terry asked it too. Okay, so we're kind of running out of time here slowly. Any other questions for Celeste about the insect management piece? Again, if you have a question, feel free to type it in the chat box.
Or the phone person can say it out loud.
Yes, or the person on the phone could, occasionally breaking in, can say something. All right, so then I guess we'll move right to the last chunk, which is really more of a demonstration piece. It's the pumpkin and squash hybrid trial. You know, I didn't really know how to present that information to you that was visually appealing, that gave you the sense that you were there. You know, I tried to give you all the information about the size relative to other objects, look at the foliage, because, you know, how the foliage holds up is a big deal. Some of the vines and plants are very small, you know, almost semi-bush. Some of them are enormous, large vine, you know, so it's important to know. I think I tried to tell you how many fruit we harvested that were mature per the 50-foot row, and then how to convert that over to an acre basis. You know, our row spacing at the station is kind of wacky. It's 15-foot rows, which I don't think anyone does that, but it's so that we can get in around the plants and do our operations. And that's why we have that very interesting 15-foot spacing, you know, but we still get, I think, pretty good yields off of those. We don't maybe maximize the yield numbers, but they're pretty good. So are there any questions about things you may have seen or just clarifications about any of that?
Being a non-pumpkin grower, Jim, I had a question. It seemed like you had three or four different suppliers. Is it just those three or four, or how do you select the varieties that you look at?
Yeah, that's a good question, Tony. There's literally a dozen or two dozen, you know, seed companies that sell pumpkins. I mean, there's literally hundreds and hundreds of hybrids, you know, or pumpkins and squash. And so what I try to do is to comb through those four or five that you saw and try to find some stuff we haven't seen before. I try to get about half of the material I want to be new. It's typically all already commercially available. You saw a couple of experimentals there from Rupp. Sometimes we get experimentals from, you know, Harris or HM Klaus or some other companies, Cicada. But the issue with that is, you know, they're trying to get seed typically out of South America or somewhere, and it it arrives up here late and they'll give you, you know, maybe 25 seed. And then we were very fortunate this year that we did not have any extreme mice feeding issues, but you know, you put that in a trial and the mice find it and they chew it up and you know, you kind of lose that whole hybrid. So it's the coordination of getting a lot of those experimental seeds in the trial is a little difficult. So you never quite know what you're going to get. But yeah, we had three in there from Rupp, and it's always good to see kind of what's, you know, coming down the line. But it's very difficult to coordinate that with the variety trial. Are there some favorites that people have that I missed that I need to take a look at? I'm sure everyone has their favorite hybrid or two, you know. So you can just pop it there in the chat box.
Well, Jim, one thing I guess everybody might be wondering, so you had a lot of data as of now, but then you will you write this all up in a final report? And is there a place people can find that final report?
Yeah, that's a good question. And yes, we've written these up at least since 2017. We've been doing it before then, and I don't know where the reports have gotten. I've been looking for them. They're somewhere in my hard drive. But yeah, we have 17, 18, and 19. Those results are actually on that page, the pumpkin page that you went to, that you watched the video and you saw the 3D models there. Just further down that page, there's a lot of pumpkin information that's there and information about the trials, pictures, and harvest data is there as well. So you can see that there if you go back to that page. Anybody else have questions about the trial or about anything else about the field day? Any comments about, did they like the music? No one's talked about the Golden Pumpkin Award yet, which I'm still holding on to, Celeste. Once we get a chance to bring it over to you, we'll do that. I don't want to ship that in the mail because it'll probably won't get to you. It's very valuable.
So did Ben Phillips write that just for us, or he had written that for his Michigan group and then you just stole it?
I really can't comment on that situation there, but I think the word is borrowed, license. I think those are the terms you want to use. You start saying things like stole and plagiarized, and that isn't very fair, I don't think. But yes, Ben Phillips did write that. And actually Ben Werling, the other Ben who's on there, he came up with the original idea and then Ben Phillips added more to it. But it was fun. I hope you enjoyed it.
For those who might, Ben did his master's in Ohio on pumpkins, right?
Yeah.
But now he's employed at Michigan State.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of at the end. If people are interested, I can take you through some other parts of that pumpkin page so you can see some things there and some of the resources that Ohio State has in case you're just not familiar. If you are on the phone, you won't be able to see that. I want to let you all know that as part of what we do here at Ohio State, you know, the funding we receive to do these projects, this Pumpkin Field Day, all the trials, you know, our federal partner is USDA NIFA. And the one thing that they require of us is to document some impact. And so everyone who signed up, who registered for the field day is going to get this survey to let us know what they think about the field day, if they learned anything, we'll use anything that was there. I went ahead and put it in the chat box there. If you click on that, you'll be transported magically to the SurveyMonkey page where that evaluation exists. I know people hate to do evaluations, but it's really important for us to be able to report that. It's kind of, you know, the feds give us the money and we have to give them back the data. And so that's kind of the arrangement that we have. So I would really appreciate, it's like 11 questions. If you could, you know, fill that out. It might take you 2 or 3 minutes. It's mostly just click, 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 click. There's no data associated to you. It's all aggregated, you know, so please be as honest as you can be. Otherwise, that's it for, I guess, the formal Q&A.